Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Yavai Dezara Daf Nantes. We begin on Ches Amud Beis. It is seven lines off the bottom of the Amud. We begin once again with a story on the topic of Yai Nesach, of course. Okay, so firstly we have Rish Lakish, Ikla LeBatra. So he came to Batra. Batra actually is a town in it's a city in Bavel, way outside Eretz Yisrael. But there is a pasuk that mentions a similar name, Betzer Bamidbar, which is actually part of Eretz Yisrael. So he mistook one for the other. He noticed Chaz Yisrael deka'achli peri, deloy ma'asri. He noticed his Yidden sitting and eating, you know, peris, fruit, produce, without concerns of maser. They weren't separating the truma and the maser. And he says, what are you doing? Vasalu, you forbade it for them. You can't until you... Number two, Chaz Amayo, desagdi lehu, oydei kechavim, v'shasu Yisrael. Then he notices another thing. Maya, he sees a stream of water, that Goyim worshipped, they bowed to it, the Sagdilu, they bowed to it, Oidikachav, and the Yidden would then go and drink that water, Vishasu Yisrael. He says, what are you doing? Vasalu. He says, you can't drink that water, it's a desire material. So he comes to Asal Kamed Rabbi Yechanan. He comes back there to Yisrael, to Rabbi Yechanan, and relates to him the incident. I noticed them doing this and that, and I forbade it. Amar Leish, Rabbi Yechanan tells him, quickly, go back. Take the first plane back. Don't even take off your coat. Adamak Torach. While your robe is still Allah on you, while you're still wearing your coat, Zil Hadar, quickly go back and correct it, and permit it. It's a mistake. Because Betzer, the town Betzer, mentioned in the Pasuk, Lav Hainu Batra, that's not the same as Batra. Batra is not Eretz Yisrael. You can have peiros without Truma and Maser, no problem. And regarding the Avodah Zarah issue, Umayim Shel Rabim Eina Sarin, water which belongs to the Rav and the public, it's a public body of water, a lake, a river, belongs to the... Nobody can affect it. Because, as we learned many times, Ein Adam Oyser, one doesn't have the power to prohibit, to ban, to impact. Davar she'ene shilay, something which belongs to somebody else. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yechanan, Tamei Rabbi Yechanan. Of course, is in line with his personal opinion, stated elsewhere, that a public, you know, body of water is unaffected by this type of Avodah Zarah worship. Don Rabbi Yechanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yoit Tzadok, he quotes the halacha that Mayim Shal Rabim Ein Esarim. So, if it's a body of water belonging to the Rabim, it doesn't become Asra. Because one cannot adversely impact somebody else's property. Says the Gemara, okay, but that's only because it belongs to the Rabim. Suppose it's a privately owned pond, private stream of water. Hadiyach, were it to belong to a private individual, you're indicating that this type of conduct, on account of its owner, Ne'esarim, would prohibit that water. Asks the Gemara, what do you mean? Fine, it's his. But it's mechubar lekarka, it's an in-ground landmark, in-ground body of water. Something which is mechubar, a mountain, a hill, even a stream of water. We learned this many times, right? It's unaffected by my desire of conduct. V'tebik lei. Let's set aside the ownership issue. There's another reason why it's unaffected. Da mechubar ninu. Because it's mechubar to the ground. So how could it become aser if it's privately owned? Leitzricha must be speaking the talshinu gala, a gal, a wave sort of disconnected from the body of water. So yeah, in that case, it's no longer mechubar. It's disconnected from the actual source, and that could become aser if it's privately owned. Well, save avni har shinadalu ninu. But if you recall, we had a similar discussion regarding the boulders which started rolling off the mountain. So the mountain itself is mechubar, unaffected by the desire of conduct. What about those boulders which have sort of detached from the mountain? On the one hand, they're part of the mountain. On the other hand, right, not man-made. On the other hand, they're objects, items, like anything else. They're disconnected from the karka. We had a discussion of machlokes between Chizkiya and Rabbi the children of Rabbi Chiya, one was Chizkiya and Rabbi Yehuda. And on the other side of the equation, we have Rabbi Yochanan, right? They had that machlokes. This was back on Daf Mem Vav, whether or not these items are considered by the Zara if worshipped. So this wave that has sort of detached itself from the primary body of water by itself, detached, if it's considered a desert material, if worshipped by its owner, right, such as Rabbi Yochanan's statement, wouldn't that indicate to us regarding Rabbi Yochanan's opinion by those boulders as well? And if you recall, we weren't really sure who said what, who took which position on that topic. So perhaps based on our discussion today, we can conclude with certainty to Rabbi Yochanan. He's the one who in fact says that when something was initially connected and then sort of disconnected on its own, like those stones, like this wave, Damar who says Asur, is there Asur? Says the Gemara, not so quick. Perhaps our case is a bit different. Leitzricha must be speaking the Tavchinu B'yadeh. The guy detached, he slapped that water out of the, right? He sees it like a wave and banged it out. So he detached it. So it's a man-made phenomenon, in which case, certainly, if worshipped, would become Avodah Zarah, and it's dissimilar to the case of the boulders, which just started rolling off on their own. It was without human involvement. Okay, on to the next story. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, he came Iklal leGavlo, to this place called Gavlo, and notices things which made him very sad. First of all, Chaza, he notices Benois Yisrael, the Ma'abra, and Ma'abit Gechavim, Jewish women who had sort of married Goyim and were impregnated by the Goyim. And these Goyim had undergone a partial conversion. Shemolav le'tavlu, they did Mila, but they didn't do Tefillah. So they hadn't really completed their conversion process. So what's the status of these children born from these Jewish mothers? Number two, he saw Chaza Chamra, he saw the wine being prepared by the Goyim. And Yidden were drinking. The Mazgoy Gechav, Mishasa Yisrael, the Goyim were mixing, diluting the wine and the water. And the Yidden were drinking it. So although they didn't actually touch the wine, they were just pouring the water into the wine, but there was a Goyish interaction with that wine, and perhaps you can speculate that the two things are connected, perhaps. One of the reasons why we keep away from the Goyish wine is to avoid, to minimize our engagement and our interaction with them, lest it lead to further interaction, social interaction, and marriage. And look what happened. They were less than careful with respect to Goyish wine, a wine handled by Goy, and look what happened. It led to intermarriage, which is exactly what it's trying to avoid. So that was the next point. And thirdly, Chaza Turmusa, he sees these beans, the Shalkilu Ev Gechav, the Goyim would cook them, Va'achli Yisrael, and Eden would eat it, without any concern about Bishul Akum, which again is meant to present that sort of barrier between us and them. And for some reason, he didn't respond, v'lei omer lo v'lei midi. So he came back and visited Rabbi Yochanan, and related to him what he saw, asal kemet Rabbi Yochanan. So this time, Rabbi Yochanan tells him, quickly turn around and and tell him what they're doing wrong. Amalei, he says, say, go out, v'hachriz, and announce, and declare, al b'nei on their children, shem mamzerim, they're mamzerim, because they were fathered by the Goyim. Number two, regarding their wine, it's forbidden as well. And thirdly, the beans, it's also asr. They're cooked by Goyim. Now, technically, although beans cannot be eaten raw, so it requires that cooking process, but we know that for something to be considered problematic when cooked by a Goy, it must be material that is fit for royal dinner, royal table. As we're going to see later. So technically these beans are not really fit for that purpose. But Rabbi Yochanan was applying a strictness in this case, and the reason is because he knew that these people in Gavlo were not the most learned and adherent people. So he has to reinforce, in order to sort of reinforce the observance of the Torah, so you have to give them an extra chumrah. And he forbade even these beans, which were technically okay. So that shouldn't lead to, really problematic situations. So he kept it a step away. So this is a chumrah. So basically, He forbade all these things. And then we'll explain it one by one. Number one, al b'neim shei mamzerim. The children are considered mamzerim. So although typically we know that a mamzer is only something which is generated by way of a rayis within our community, but if it happens via interaction with a guy, although there's an adverse effect on the child, but it's not a mamzer. Rabbi Yechon, however, disagrees. Rabbi Yechon tamei. Rabbi Yechon is going like his shita. Dom Rabbi Yechon lo elam einu ger ad sheyimol v'yitbol. Firstly, regarding the geisha status, he only is considered a ger if he goes through both stages of that conversion process, mila and tefila. But in this case, v'chivan, since the loy tovel, since they did not do tefila, oyved kechavim, he's still considered a guy. That's number one, and that leads to a mamzer in Rabbi Yechon's opinion. V'amar Rabba, bar bar chana. Amar Rabbi Yechon, oyved kechavim ve'eved, a guy. Or a geisha slave, habab as Yisrael interacts with a Jewish woman, that ensuing child is a mamzer, a blood mamzer. And that's why you're meant to label them as such. Regarding that wine that was prepared by the goyim, v'gzoyral yeinam, v'gozral yeinam shmi aynesach. Let's treat it like aynesach. You know why? Although technically it's not. There was no contact, there was no real interaction, he was just pouring. Like we learned yesterday, it's called kayach, it wasn't really... Nevertheless, you can't drink it. Mishum, the reason is because we want to keep a distance from anything that even smells like Ayin Nesach. Mishum, Leich, Leich, Amr, Nazir, we tell the Nazir, who may not drink wine, keep far away from the vineyard. Don't take chances. Schur, schur, around and around. Take a long route. L'charmel sikrav, and don't get near the vineyard. So even though there was no contact, it was just kayach, right? Because he's just pouring the water into the wine, it still is going to be asr. Asr for drinking. And finally, v'al tur musam shem bishulei b'kecham, treat their beans with the isr of bishul akum. And that's only because the Fishein of Neitera, they're not the most adhering people. So we want to keep that extra reinforcement. Says the Gemara, Tama. So you mean to say, the only reason why he forbade those beans is because they ain't of Neitera, they're not Neitera. But otherwise, let's say they would be Neitera. So we don't have to come, you know, down hard on them because they're conformists and we can tell them what's good and what's no good and they won't mix things up. So it would be okay to have these beans, sure, really? But you can't eat these beans raw. V'amar Rav Shmuel Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav, kol shenechol k'moy shuchai, any food that technically can be eaten raw, it's edible raw. So then, ein bo mishum b'shulei b'tikachom, if the guy cooks it, it doesn't affect its status, because as Rashi, Maseches Beis, says, he didn't do much. He didn't accomplish anything. The whole point is to engender closeness, to bring out, you know, feelings and appreciation. He didn't accomplish much. I could have eaten it without his cooking. Not so beans. Who eats beans raw? So it's usher because it's usher, not because it's a strictness of neitera, right? Says the Gemara, no. Rabbi Yechon kihach lishnas v'ili. Rabbi Yechon had a different condition required to make it bishuli akim. He held like the other version of Rav, who presents another tanai, another condition. Any food which is not typically served at a royal table, together with the bread, is not considered bishulak. Beans are not served in that context. And therefore, even if he cooked it, it would be okay for us to consume. And therefore, time of the enemy, it only came down hard because they were not b'neitera. So you had to create that extra layer of security. Sure, but otherwise, would be okay. Okay, so to summarize, Bechir Ba'aba noticed these practices taking place in the town of Gavla. He came back to Rabbi Yechon, who told him to go back and set them straight. Children, mamzerim, yayin yayinesach, and the beans are off limits. Bo minei, so this following question was asked, Mirav Kahana. Can we have a goy transport? Can we use a geisha delivery service to bring our grapes to the wine press? He's not going to press it. He's not going to producing, just delivering. Oyvid gechav ma, what's the halacha regarding shiyoy lecha anafim lagas? Can they bring our grapes to the wine press? Amar lehu, he says, no, asr, you may not do that. Why? It's not yet wine. It's not touching anything. Misham leich leich amrin nazira secher secher lechamer leitikrav. Again, that same refrain. You meant to take extra precaution. Keep him far away from the wine. Eisvei. So the question was posed by Rav Yemar to Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana, he says, you tell me you can't? We have a price so that it's okay. A guy that delivered the grapes to the press, besalad in baskets, or bedar, bedudurin in these little containers. Even if you see that there is juice oozing out of the grapes and there's, right, running on the grapes. So you have actual tangible liquid. Mutter, it's okay. And Tosis points out, even if the guy touched it, it's not yet considered wine, because as we learned the other day, it doesn't achieve its yayin wine status until the grapes have been pressed, and the water is, the juice is trickling into the pit, etc. But at this early stage, it's not considered wine. And even if a guy touched it, it'll be okay. It's mutter. And you're telling me you can't have a guy do this work for you? Amrlei, he says, listen, big difference between after the fact and before the fact. Havi, the brisa that you quoted, commerce is speaking after. He brought it already. Havi, commerce, you're proving from after the fact. I was giving you advice before the fact. You asked me, should he do it? No, you shouldn't allow him to do it. Keep him far away from the operation. But of course, after the fact, if he did it, it's okay because it's not yet wine. Here comes another story. How esroig, there was an esroig. An esroig, the nafal chavis and the chamra slipped into this wine barrel. So the guy was sitting there. Oy, the esrog, the pitim's going to break. He quickly jumped up and he grabbed the esrog. He stuck his hand into the barrel of wine to salvage the esrog. Idri jumped up. Oy, would come a guy with shackling. He grabbed the esrog and the wine. So at this point, we're still safe because you see clearly his intention was simply to salvage the esrog. He wasn't thinking wine. He was thinking esrog. So that's up until this very moment. But going forward, you have to be careful. Once his hand is in there, you never know what he has in mind. Omalu Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi told the people, quickly grab his hand, disable his hand. Keep it motionless. Noktul, you have to grab his hand. So he doesn't slosh the wine bay in the barrel. Ubaratsua. And as you're holding his hand still, tilt that barrel and pour out the wine, add the shaif until it's fully empty, because otherwise, you never know what he might do on his way out. Hamar Rav Ashi, here comes another story. Rav Ashi says like this, halacha, hay oivet gechom denas chelechamar dishol bekavon. What happens if a guy purposely took your wine and he poured it to his avodah zarah, knowing that it's going to forbid your wine? He damaged your wine, basically, right? So this wine is now truly yayin nesach. You can't drink it. You can't even sell it to a goy and be paid for that wine. Question. Can I charge the goy for damages? See, on the one hand, you can say it's just damages. On the other hand, I'm getting paid for that wine now. He's taking the wine and paying me for it. Even though you can't sell it to a different goy, you can't make money off this forbidden wine, but you have a right to demand payment. The value of that wine, Me'ahu oivet gecham, from the guy who damaged it. Why? My time, why is that so? Mikla kalye. You're not selling it. Look, he destroyed your wine. Okay? So, mikla kalye, he burnt it, basically. It's an expression. He destroyed it. So, you want to pay for it? Fine, you can take it, but pay for it. So you're not technically selling it, you're just getting paid, you're compensated for your loss. That's not called hanah from wine. Umar Rav Ashi bin Aminila says, Rav Ashi, how do I know this great chiddush that it's permitted? The Sani Rav Abraise, which speaks about this type of concept. So Goy actually poured Jewish wine. So it was done far away, not in the presence of the idol. It's still awesome because the Goy would pour even at a distance. It's considered avodah zarah. However, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava and Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseder Matiran, they allow you to have enough from the wine. Again, you can't drink it because, as we discussed many times, if there's any direct contact, it's maga, it's asur b'shtia. But in terms of considering it real yai nesach, they say no problem, for two reasons. Number one, echad, this is not the standard mode of making yai nesach. unless it's doing, he's doing it in front of his idol. She'ein manaschin yain ela b'fnei goyim, typically don't do nisach unless it's in front. Ela b'fnei avodas kochim. So there's no concern of real yain nisach. Aside from that factor, suppose it's asr. Okay, I can still demand compensation. Ve'echa, number two, she'ein lo, you can tell the guy who damaged his wine, who poured his wine, listen, you have no business destroying my wine. Pay me for it. Lo yikol heimenach. It's not within your ability. Meaning, you have no right. To force me against my will and destroy my wine. So Rashi points out, although we're not going to agree, the halacha doesn't really adopt the first rationale presented by these Tanoim. We hold that even at a distance, even Shaloi b'fnei avodah zarah, it's called Nisuch, but at least we can certainly adopt a second point. If the guy damaged, the guy ruined my wine, I can demand repayment. It comes yet another story. There was this barrel, the chamra of wine, the ishtaka lebarza. So the spigot, the spout, came shooting out. Okay, it fell out of they had a barrel of wine, closed on all sides, and they would punch a hole with this sort of spigot, which was used as a faucet. The spigot slipped out, and the wine is shooting out. So the guy, trying to be helpful, jumped up and he plugged the hole with his finger. Also, Idri jumped up, anach yadei ilavo, placed his hand to plug the hole. By doing so, he touched the wine within, but only that portion of wine, right? The part that's right near his hand, that, you know, the point of contact. Amar Papa, okay, kol d'lahadi barza, only the wine which is right near that spigot hole, which the guy actually touched. Only that, usher, you can't drink. But you can sell the whole barrel. You can have a gnaw. Rashi explains, because there was no shikshach. He didn't slosh, he didn't move the wine. He was just a little teeny hole. He didn't have where to wiggle his finger. So at most, it's just a contact, just a maga. Maga, clearly just to salvage the wine. It wasn't for the sake of nis. So it's magash lebekavo, it's mutter bahano. So you shouldn't drink that bit of wine, but certainly you can sell it and have ano from the whole barrel. Vidach shari, and the rest of the barrel, the rest of the material is mutter, even to drink, if there's a way for you to get it, you know, to separate the two. Vigadamri, there's another version of Rapapa's response, which turns out to be a bit more strict. Amra Papa anta barza. So, all the wine, from the top of the barrel until the point of the spigot, since it's sort of leading into that point, it's sort of all draining in that direction. Chamra, so that wine is usur, so that part should not be drunk. V'idach shari, the rest of the wine, right, so from the... From that point below, from the spigot below, sure, you can even drink. Totally mutter. So it's a kula because basically you're separating different elements of that of the wine within the same barrel. You're saying, well, this part has been, you know, tampered with, this part not. Tesis actually asks, how could you separate this layer of wine from the other layer? It's all one big, you know, mix. So he learns that you can't drink any. He meant to allow the rest behano. Okay, in any case, but Rashi does say that it's mutar b'shtiyah. Comes Rav Yemar, Omar Rav Yemar, he says, actually, it's not so simple, ketanoi. This question is really subject to machlekes tanoi. This question of whether you can actually separate the different, you know, layers of wine in the barrel, or do we look at it as one entity, is connected to Machlekes Tanoim in a Mishnah in Tful Yoyim, which it's not discussing Yain, that's discussing Tuma. A person who's Tumah, who plugs the hole in the barrel, what happens to the entire barrel? Everything gets affected, or just a part of the wine? Chavis Shenikva, so the barrel got a hole. Beimi Pia, whether on top, on the, you know, through the lid. Beimi Shaleh, whether on bottom. Beimi Tzedeh, whether off to the side. V'nogabot Tful Yoyim, comes along a Tful Yoyim, a fellow who had already immersed in a mikvah after becoming tamei, so he immersed in a mikvah, but he hadn't yet experienced nightfall, so his tahara process is not yet complete. So he's somewhat tummy and will taint the wine upon contact. So wherever he plugged, whether on top, on bottom, on the side, you can't differentiate. It's one big unit of wine. Why? Because, let's say, for instance, he touched the top layer. Well, everything beneath it is connected. It's a buses. It's serving as a base. Like on Shabbos, you have buses, ladavar ha'asur, something which is supporting muktzah, right? It's like a base to the upper layer, which is asur. It's all one big entity. Likewise, when he touches the bottom layer, right? Due to gravity factors, everything ultimately is going to be draining to the bottom. So it's all one big continuous entity. Likewise, it touches the side. Again, you can't differentiate because suppose he touches it midway up, right? So again, the part that's above is draining to that hole. Ultimately, is heading to that hole. So it's all one big uninterrupted entity. And regarding the portion that's below it, again, that's a buses serving as a support to hold up the layer above it. So it's all one big happy family. It's all tummy. You can't differentiate. Rabbi says, well, you could differentiate. Yeah, if you touch the top or the bottom, that you can't separate from the rest. Because again, if he touches the top, so everything is supporting that. If he touches the bottom, everything is heading that direction. But if he touches the side, then you can say, well, it's different. It's different. That only the spot that he touched is usur. But the wine off to the sides is okay. And this would, in fact, be in line with Rav Papa, right? Rav Papa who differentiated between this part and that part. But as Rashi says, when there's a machlokes between a yachid and a rabbim, such as Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham, we pass them like the majority, the Rabbanan. In which case, we don't view the barrel as separate entities, as separate layers. It's all one big body of liquid. So by touching one part, you metami everything. Likewise, by the guy touching one part, he taints the entire barrel. Okay, so for a brief summary of today's daf, we start with a story of Rish Lakish who came to Batra. He told him off on a number of items, which were then corrected by Rav Yechanan. On the other hand, we have Rav Chiya bar Abba came to Gavla and did not set them straight. He came back to Rav Yechanan, sent them right back to put them in their place. Mamzerim, Yainesech, Bishulakim. Chathili shouldn't have the guy deliver those grapes, but the evidence is okay. The guy with the Esreg was saved just in time. We have the heter to allow the goy to compensate you for lost wine. It's not considered hanah from the wine. It's just compensating for damages, rather than being considered hanah from that wine. And we have the idea of the spigot that flew out and was plugged by the goy. Rav Papa was mater a part of it, but according to our maskonim, the prevailing view is the whole thing would become affected as it's considered one single body of liquid. All the best to you and Hatzlacha.